Chaz and AJ in the morning, 99.1 PLR, 95.9 The Fox. It is a small business town hall meeting here on the show. And first, we're going to bring in Senator Richard Blumenthal. Good morning, sir.
Good morning to you. Thanks morning. For having me again.
Oh, well, we appreciate you coming on, and we appreciate you connecting us with our SBA rep. And we'll get to him in a second. First, a couple questions to you, and we're going to open up the phone lines to the tribe, 1-877-764-2535, 1-877-764-2535.
And by the way, I have answers to some of the questions that have been asked, so we can go through those now or wait for your questions.
Okay, yeah, let's run through our questions, and then at the end we'll do a review.
Okay.
All right. What if a business owner, let's just say a restaurant that's now closed, applies for, receives a loan, then writes a check to himself as wages lost, then files bankruptcy, permanently closes?
If he writes a check to himself?
In other words, you guys give him a loan, SBA gives him a loan, and then he just writes himself out a check.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
That's his payment. Then,
well, he can be pursued for bankruptcy fraud. He can be denied bankruptcy. You know, bankruptcy courts judge whether or not someone is entitled to file, whether they're really bankrupt. And if he is self-dealing through his business, either through fraud or through other some other means, he may be denied permission to go into bankruptcy.
So there'd be legal issues.
There would be legal issues, yeah. Now, let's answer one of the questions that's commonly asked. If you are a small business owner, let's say you have just one employee, you are entitled to take a loan and pay yourself on the payroll, just as you would if you were in business without the loan. And that payment to yourself as the owner can be up to $100,000. So there is a lot of incentive here for a small business owner to conduct the business honestly and appropriately,
how much,
pay his employee, and then it can be forgiven.
Do we know how much money is coming to Connecticut for this specific part of the stimulus package?
The simple answer is that it is not money to Connecticut because it's administered through the SBA. So the answer is as much money as is necessary for all the eligible loans, and that's why we're encouraging people to consider this program, which is called the Paycheck Protection Program. It's an SBA program that you'll hear about from the SBA representative who's going to be coming on right after me. But it is a very innovative program because, just for listeners who may not have heard the previous shows, a small business owner applies for a loan, and then the loan is forgiven after a period of time if that business owner keeps his people on payroll. So he's paying his people and, in effect, taking a loan that can be forgiven. And that's very important to keep people employed, but also to keep that business owner operating and hopefully coming back when we get to the other side of this economic crisis.
So we have people coming and going, listening, then phoning in, so you might get that question again. We're going to bring in now our SBA buddy, Mark Hayward, Interim Director for Small Business Administration of Connecticut, full-time District Director of Rhode Island SBA.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mark. Thanks for coming on the show. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Good morning, Senator.
Good morning, Mark. Great to hear your voice again. Great to be with
you. Thank you.
So, Mark, you're the Interim Director of Connecticut. We don't have
I am.
And what are we... So are you eventually going to become the Director of Connecticut? Or
hopefully at some point in time when we get beyond all of this, we'll get a new District Director in Connecticut. I got a new job this morning as well. I'm also the Acting Regional Administrator for all of New England.
Wow.
Okay, so that makes it easier then. So, one, congratulations. Yeah. That's a big promotion. And then that'll make it easier for you to oversee all these
things.
So
the Regional Administrator, who is actually a Connecticut resident, he's been pulled into Washington.
Wow.
So I think I'm the senior of the dean, as they say, of the delegation. So I have 40 years of experience here at SBA.
Okay.
Well, thank you for your service to the country.
Yes.
So what kind of questions do you want me to go through first? I can tell you that I went on this morning to the disaster site. 67 loans have been approved for Connecticut businesses for $14,419,700. So those businesses have already been notified.
That was
over
fast.
Over the weekend, we have transformed and reformed the entire COVID-19 economic injury disaster loan application. It is now only 5 pages. So people can go up online. They can do everything online. The agency has partnered with a private sector company to do this. I actually went in this morning and I went through the entire application, and it took me about 10 minutes to do everything. And then when you get to the very final page on this, I mean, it's asking you to verify, to certify. I think Senator Blumenthal said this very succinctly, is, you know, you have to certify under penalty of perjury that this is you, this is what you're going to do, and this is how you're going to do it. And when you get to the final page, it says, I would like to be considered for an advance up to $10,000, which is an automatic. We're $10,000 of funds, and it says where to send the funds. It asks you for your bank name, your account number, and your routing name, and that is that's an absolute. That $10,000 will go out effective immediately, and then you certify under penalty of perjury.
Wow.
That will happen. Now, as you've gone through this process, you may be calculated for, and I'm just looking at some of the numbers here, you may be calculated for a $100,000 loan. So you eventually will be told within a very short period of time that you will be receiving a $100,000 loan. When those funds are deposited in your account, you will see the minus $10,000 that you were advanced.
Okay, I have some follow-up on that. But first, let's start with the basic question. This is from Gary Lavin from Duchess Restaurants.
Okay.
I wanted to ask about the loans that will be made available to small businesses as part of the stimulus package. Just curious how that's going to work, when the money will be available, and what the process of obtaining a loan is. Thank you.
All right. So you went through the process. And then
I went through the economic injury disaster loan process. That is one process. It's possible that Gary is talking about the Paycheck Protection Program that Senator Blumenthal mentioned earlier. Those details are currently being worked on as we speak. And what Secretary Mnuchin in the White House has said is we will be ready to rock and roll on those as of Friday. So this is a new program. So this is being built a little bit differently. We were told that all of the SBA lenders that are currently SBA lenders will be given preferred status, which allows them to make the loan directly. There will be, I'm assuming that it's going to be similar to what I see here under the economic injury disaster loan, but those loans will be coming directly from an SBA participating lender.
Calculated.
And that's an important point, Chaz, because one of the most common questions that people ask me is, if I already have an SBA loan, can I apply for the Paycheck Protection Program? And Mark, I guess the answer is yes. And also people have asked me, if I have a loan from the state, you know, Governor Lamont announced the Bridge Loan Program.
Yeah.
Can I apply for an SBA loan? And the answer is yes. So this is a very important point that this program will be up and running by Friday, and businesses already having loans from the SBA or the state can apply.
So the other, just to add on to the senator's points also, once if I have an economic injury disaster loan, can I apply for a Paycheck Protection Program loan? And the answer to that is yes. But so there will be some, it'll be a little bit different because while the Paycheck Protection Program does have an amount of forgiveness, we, you know, like everything else, we tell people, please keep good records, because when we come on the back end of the Paycheck Protection Program, and again, I don't have all of that information as of yet, the agency will get it out. But on the back end of that, on the forgiveness request, it's going to be based upon you retaining your employees and paying your bills.
You mentioned calculated. So when you're a small business and you're applying for this paycheck protection, are you going to list the number as the business that you would like to get, or you'll be calculated based on the numbers that you're giving?
It's just like everything else. I mean, if you're a business that does $1 million a year, so your payroll is anywhere between, and your payables are somewhere between $100,000 and $200,000. The expectation is that you're going to ask for a loan that's commensurate with that. I can't give you an exact number. If I was guessing, I would probably say $50,000 to $75,000, because as you back that out, remember, it's your payroll over a 12-month period. I'm talking about the forgiveness, Chaz, now. The payroll forgiveness is going to be based upon your payroll over a 12-month period divided by 12 and then multiplied by 2.5. And that will be the forgiveness portion of it. And somebody asked me at 5 o'clock this morning, said, can I apply for, because these loans, the legislation provides that the agency can go up to $10 million. Yes, but you have to be able to justify this. You know, as I mean, the affiliation rules have been removed. The credit elsewhere was removed in the legislation. There are certain things that were removed, yes, but you still have to have some basis for your request. And if you're working with an SBA lender, they're very knowledgeable and they're very understanding as to what those kind of formulas are.
So it sounds to me like the payroll protection, you're figuring 2.5 months and the economy's back.
No, I think the president said yesterday that the protection, that everybody would be paid over a four-month period. But in the legislation itself, it's looking at the whole of your it's looking at multiple areas. But as it relates to payment, it's looking at you retaining your employees, and that calculation would be 2.5. I mean, you could say it's 2.5 months, but there are other things that are also included in on that.
Okay, and then that is money that will be forgiven if you don't lay anyone off.
That's correct.
The gotcha. Payroll protection. That is, could it's a loan, but could become a grant.
That's correct.
Okay. This is from Tom. I own a small telecom company, 6 employees, and have so far kept paying their salaries and would like to keep doing so. One, where do I apply? I think you covered that, but we can go over it again because people are just tuning in. Two, do we have to show lost revenue or just that we are continuing to pay employees? And three, I've stopped paying myself a couple of weeks ago and will continue to do this until it's over. If I go on unemployment myself, does that jeopardize the loan being converted to a grant?
I really can't answer that one. I'm not sure why he would, if he was going to continue to work, I think there would be an eligibility issue on going on unemployment. I don't know.
Right. In other words, he has to lay himself off.
Exactly.
He has to lay himself off.
Gotcha.
To go on unemployment insurance. I don't know what he means, you know, whether he's going to, in effect, lie to the SBA or lie to unemployment. But if his business still craters and he goes on unemployment insurance, then he closes down the business.
Okay, right. So if anyone, a business owner listening now, has already laid off employees, do they not apply for this payroll protection? Or is it too late for them?
No, nothing's too late.
Okay.
Including the economic injury disaster loan. Everything is still on the table. I mean, the ultimate goal, some people cannot employ their individuals because by either CDC regulations or the governor has made a statement or an executive order that requires a stay at home. So there are multiple reasons for that if they couldn't work at home.
All right. I'm sorry, but I'm getting a lot of information. So I just wanted to be clear. So this guy who owns the telecom company, right, 6 employees, he asked, if I collect unemployment, will I still be eligible? And you said no, because he would be laying himself off.
Well, I don't know about the eligibility. I mean, the business is eligible. There's no question about that. But my concern, and I would defer to the senator, but I don't think he can lay himself off as an employee and continue the operations? I don't know. I really don't.
What you're saying.
Yeah, that would be definitely a problem. He can lay himself off and accept unemployment insurance. That's a question frequently asked by small business owners. If my business goes broke, can I collect unemployment insurance? The answer is yes. So can his employees. But he can't be, in effect, drawing pay from the business and collect unemployment insurance unless he has some kind of special circumstance that we can't anticipate. And I want to add just one other point to what Mark just said. There are a number of different Small Business Administration programs. For example, there is the Emergency Economic Injury Grant. Mark might want to describe that program, which offers some relief as well. And it's not as big. It doesn't go up to $10 million, nowhere near there. But for businesses who are sort of on the precipice, that might be a source of relief as well.
And Senator, that's where the going through the EIDL process and applying and getting that $10,000 up front. So if you end up getting a loan for $100,000, then that would be an advance. If you end up getting denied right. for a loan, then that would be converted to a grant.
All right. You're listening to Senator Blumenthal and Mark Hayward, who just this morning became the New England District Manager of the Small Business Administration. So we have a man with a lot of juice and a lot of answers on the phone here. We're pulling questions from our Chaz and AJ Facebook page. Are there any requirements on the type of business or product manufactured by these small businesses? So if you have a certain type of business, are you disqualified or any all businesses?
I mean, it has to be eligible under the SBA rules. You have to be a small business, which is 500 employees or less. There are a few industries that are not permitted.
Yeah. Go ahead.
One industry is gambling is not a permitted industry. Currently, the marijuana industry is not a permitted industry. Anything dealing with illicit matters is not an acceptable industry. But I think just about everything else is.
Okay,
those are businesses that you couldn't operate anyway in the normal course. You can't just go out and start your gambling business. You can't start certain kinds of businesses, you know,
that makes
pornography,
sense.
So forth and so on.
All right.
But any legitimate business is eligible.
We had a question earlier, and I thought this was a good one. We had a guy who owns a couple of rentals and a couple of commercial properties who's not going to be getting any rent because of our current situation. And he said, is a landlord a small business?
Under normal conditions, they probably are not, unless they have set it up as an LLC. But I can't give you a definitive because when the Congress passed the CARE Act, there were certain provisions that changed, and it's possible. And while I've read most of it, I haven't read all of it, and I can't give an answer on that one right now. By Friday, I may have an answer, Chess.
Thank you.
I'll answer a little bit. If the business is structured in a way that it is, in effect, either an LLC or a corporation, it may well be eligible. And Mark is right to be careful in answering it because it will depend somewhat on the circumstance. If you just own, you know, if you rent out a part of your house or, you know, if you've got a single house that you're single property renting out, maybe not, but if this is your occupation, your business, you set it up as a business, as an LLC or a corporation, it may well be.
This is from Kevin with McDermott Auto Group regarding franchisees.
Do all privately owned franchise businesses like auto dealerships need to have each franchisor, like General Motors, Toyota, etc., be listed separately on the SBA franchise registry in order for the franchisee to qualify?
That's a great question. I think most of the auto franchisors now have been listed one by. I know we've been going through them one by one. I'm not sure how the franchise rules are going to apply, because I think a number of things were waived under the CARE Act. But that's a great question that I need to ask our franchise council. But for example, I've been dealing with automobile franchises in Connecticut, and I know for a fact that Cadillac has now come on, and Mazda has come on, and Toyota has come on the franchise registry. So I don't know if all of them are going to be qualified, because I don't know whether or not the legislation opened that all up.
Okay.
It's a very important question, because, you know, you've got fast food franchises and others. The intent of Congress was to make them eligible for these loans. And the principal barrier for a lot of them is the requirement that they be no larger than 500 employees, because some of these franchises, if somebody owns more than one of the outlets, could get pretty large in terms of numbers of employees. But the idea is that the determination is location by location. In other words, 500 employees at each location is the way it's measured. And so the fact that there may be more than 500 employees overall wouldn't disqualify someone. But the intent of Congress was, and I'll say this generally, to be as flexible and comprehensive as possible. So the SBA is doing the regulations, because it's responsible for administering this program, and it has experts like Mark who've been in this business, so to speak, for years and years. But the intent of Congress was to be as flexible as possible, because we face a crisis that's unprecedented in our history.
A lot of people asking about if you're self-employed. Does that count as a small business?
Yeah, I believe, yes, it does. It depends on, I mean, how they file. But, yes, sole props and self-employed are part of the application process. So I'm going to say yes.
Another question
and
here.
They also are eligible for unemployment insurance.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, great. Since 501c6 organizations were initially left out of the stimulus package Friday, are the thousands employed across the country of those organizations eligible for the stimulus checks? Senator?
I didn't hear the first part of the question.
501c6 organizations left out of the stimulus package. Are the thousands of employees across the country of those organizations eligible for the stimulus checks?
Yes.
Yes.
The employees are.
Right.
The business is not 501c6, is not treated as an eligible organization under the programs we've just been discussing, the small business programs. But so far as those checks, the so-called $1,200 checks or rebates, yes, they are eligible. In fact, let me just go through, because you got a number of very good questions the other day when we were talking. They're eligible. People receiving Social Security are eligible. Someone who owes child support is eligible.
I saw somewhere that it's not. So that was misinformation I saw. The child support.
Correct.
Okay. They're not eligible for SBA loans.
Oh, gotcha.
For SBA loans, but for the $1,200 payment, which is entirely separate.
Okay.
Yes, they are eligible, the so-called rebate. Can someone who is a small business owner receive that $1,200 check? Yes. In other words, it isn't determined according to income, according to your business status. Everybody gets a check, including people who haven't filed a tax return in 2018 or 2019, but they may have to file a tax return to get that money from the IRS, because the way it will work in the interest of time is the IRS machinery, so to speak, is going to start spitting out checks to everyone. Everyone who's filed in 2018 gets a check. And if you haven't filed in 2018 because you didn't make enough money, you really should get the check, but you have to file a return if you haven't done it for 2019. So that it will be automatically going to everyone. You don't have to apply for it unless you have not filed a 2018 return. And here's an interesting point.
All right, then I have to wrap up, and I just wanted to get a couple of seconds with Mark before we do that. Go ahead, Senator.
The rebate money is not taxable. That was a question asked the other day, and it will not be reduced even if you owe taxes. So let's say you owe the IRS money. You still get the check.
Chaz and AJ, Bruce Bennett Nissan News.
99.1 PLR, 95.9 The Fox. We're just mopping up our small business town hall meeting here with Senator Blumenthal and Mark Hayward, Interim Director of Small Business Connecticut, full-time District Director of Rhode Island, and just became the District Director of New England this morning.
Yeah.
So they've been answering a lot of questions. We'll have all of that up on WPLR.com and 95.9thefox.com as audio on demand. Plus, there'll be websites and emails that you can get to and get your questions answered. We have a question here, and then both Mark and Senator Blumenthal want to kind of go through some points here to mop up. Kevin Pryor from American Ladder and Scaffolds wants to know, and he has businesses, offices in Connecticut and Rhode Island. He wants to know, how will you decide which businesses received funds?
So I'm assuming that he has a holding company that's and two affiliates. I'm just assuming that that's what it is. It can go to either his two affiliates or operating companies, or it can go to the holding company. The questions are going to relatively be the same, and it depends on how he files it.
Okay, and then how do you decide which businesses get money or loans and which businesses do not?
I think just about everybody, unless you're, there is an algorithm that's currently in the process, and that's what we were talking about before, where there would be a $10,000 grant under the economic injury disaster loan if you did not end up qualifying. So that's why we have told people to go to the website and apply. The website really, and how you apply is going to determine what you will get, because you're certifying under penalty of perjury that everything that you're putting in it. Remember, Chaz, it's only a 5-page application now, so it's been really consolidated as to what needs to be put there.
Okay, and then Senator, you had some final points, and then we'll get to Mark.
Yes, to this point, remember, it's a $350 billion program. That's money unprecedented in size out of the $2.2 trillion. So this effort is to make possible as many loans as possible. When you ask the question about how do you apply, how do you get the loan, the idea is we want as many small businesses as possible to qualify and to receive this loan that then can be forgiven if they keep people on their payroll. That was the intent of Congress. Be flexible, be magnanimous, and let's keep these businesses going, because whether it's 2 months or 3 months or 6 months, we are going to get through this crisis, and we're going to do it together. Second point is that I want to give a shout out to Mark, all the SBA guys who are at work right now. They were at work over the weekend. Mark is a pro at this stuff. I've walked literally through the streets of Connecticut with him, visiting small businesses. These guys care about small business. Third, my office is available anytime to help people if they have problems getting through to the SBA, and Julio and the Hartford team also do a great job. And finally, I just want to thank you, Chaz and AJ, for making this town hall possible. The more information we can get out there, the better. Thanks to you. And thanks again. I can't do it too many times, to all the healthcare providers.
Yes.
The folks working in hospitals,
yes,
right now, they are putting their lives on the line. They don't have enough equipment that they need, the masks and personal protective equipment, and they need more ventilators as well to do their job. But thanks to our first responders, our police, our firefighters, and those guys who are working in the clinics and the hospitals, men and women who are really doing such extraordinary work.
And Mark, you had some final thoughts?
Yeah, and thank you very much. Senator Blumenthal has been a great partner. We work with him in his office. We did walk all the way through Mystic, and it was a great experience. One thing I want to tell people, if they've been auto-declined on the economic injury disaster loan, there are going to be robocalls, I believe, today telling you to either get back in or that we've put your application back in. For those who have applied but haven't heard back, you should get a robocall as well, giving you the status of your application. As I said, 67 people have got, 67 businesses have got $14.5 million already.
All right, Mark, thanks for coming on. We know how busy you are, and even though you're the interim director for Connecticut, we consider you family here.
Yep.
And congratulations on your promotion.
That's only temporary while the regional administrator is in Washington. I think it's going to be a few months.
Well, right. Take good care of Connecticut, please.
Yeah,
I will.
All right, Mark, thank you for coming on, and thank you again,
thank you.
Senator Blumenthal.
Anytime. Thanks.
All right. I felt like that was very productive.
Yeah.